so much, ladies. I love that old song.
I could get it.
My daddy used to, when I was young, get me down in the bedroom with his guitar, and we'd sing those old songs, and that was one of them that he loved. So I had the good music when he was playing that. Thank you. How long has it been? And then he'd throw some Johnny Cash in there, of course. You'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. And when you get there, if you'll stand, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. It says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached to you who were far off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Lord, as we come to you today, I just pray that you'd open our hearts in worship. Father, just help us to keep our minds on you, to receive what the Holy Spirit has for us this morning. And that you would touch lives through your word, Lord. It doesn't matter who's standing up here delivering. It's your word that pierces hearts and souls. And we just praise and love you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 1938, Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of Britain. Hitler and his Germany had been making some waves a few years before that. Those of you that know history remember all of that. So Neville Chamberlain, in a famous conference, went to Germany, met with Hitler in a peace accord, or so he thought. And he came home and he proclaimed to the world that he had talked to Hitler and everything was going to be fine. And he was convinced that there was going to be peace. The very next year, in 1939, Hitler invaded Poland, and so started the beginnings of World War II. The only covenant of peace that will last is the one made by God, is sealed by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Let me say it again. The only covenant of peace is the one sealed by the blood of Christ. Man has tried throughout the centuries, and that we're supposed to. Mr. Chamberlain did the best he could. He was trying to bring peace, but there was no peace. And there never will be a complete peace until the Lord comes back. In these verses here, Paul has started in chapter 1, and you know how excited I got about that, so we won't revisit that. But it is something to be excited about. He has started in chapter 1, telling us who we are in Christ, building upon that foundation, okay? So that he can now show us and remind us, and especially the people that he is speaking to here, Gentiles. Most of the Ephesian church was made up of Gentiles with a few Jews in this church, okay? But he's speaking to them, and he's going to tell them why there can be a peace between the two. Most converts were Gentiles, like I said. But for centuries, the circumcision, which is the Jews, remember that God told Abraham and made a covenant with them that they would circumcise all of the males, which was an outward showing that they belonged to God in the nation of Israel, but it never was meant to show that they, just because they were circumcised, that they did belong to God. The true faith has to come from a man and woman's heart, right? That's what it was supposed to emphasize. But through the centuries and through the years, as always happens with mankind, it came to symbolize something else, and something happened in the Jewish heart. And they came to believe, simply because they were Jews, that they were more than just set apart by God. They were special and no one else was included, and only they had access to God. So for centuries, Paul said, the circumcision of the Jews looked down upon what is called the uncircumcision here in Scripture, which would be the Gentiles. They looked down upon them. This was never God's intention. The Jews trusted the promises, I said, of Abraham and the physical circumcision that they belonged to God, but that is no proof of faith. We can bring that into the day, into the church. Simply because we have outward appearance does not mean that we have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus tell us? He looks at the heart. And we're going to talk about that tonight in Mark when he talks about those whitewashed cups. So this sermon is going to relate to that. Colossians 2:11 tells us this. Those who have trusted Christ have received a spiritual circumcision not made with hands. And that goes for us today. God made a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, but this was so the Jews could be a blessing to the Gentiles. There was a difference that he set up, and we'll see in just a second, this wall of separation and why it was set up. But you can also see how Satan can come in and take man's mind and turn things around, where he will create his own wall of separation, not only between ethnic groups and nations, but between people. And that is what was happening. So Paul is trying to clear this up here. Do not forget in the early church that there was confusion about this. The Jews, like I said, thought that they were God's people. And even the ones that came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ still had a problem with the fact that God would include these Gentiles over here, especially a Samaritan, into our church, into what we were going to have. They still thought in their minds, some of them, that they were separated into that. The Jews were to be a channel by God and a revelation of his goodness. That's why he went to Abraham. That's why through Jacob and in Egypt that he created a nation, in other words, to bring out, okay, that they would be his chosen people, not because he's just going to save a few and send the others to hell, no. But because he could show that they would be something different in this world that Paul's going to tell us in a minute of how lost and dark it is. That they could be a different light that the Gentile nations could look to and say, that is different. And then God could draw them through the Jewish nation. But that's not what happened, is it? Paul says that without the but God, we would still all be where they were. Without the but God over here in verse 4 that I like so much, we would all be in the same situation that Paul just told them that they were once in, the Gentiles. And what were they? What does he tell us? Number one, without Christ. Without the but God, you and I would be without Christ in this world, simply living this life with no future, with no hope, and no good end to it. That's what he said the Gentiles faced as they were living in the world that they were living in. Without hope, without Christ. They had plenty of pagan gods. My goodness, what did Paul say in Rome? And then he said in Athens. The old saying in Athens was, and history tells us this, that you could find a god in Athens quicker than you could find a man. They had so many. Paul went to Athens, no Mars Hill. Remember, they had a statue that said there, or a plaque that said there, to an unknown god. They had, in case they missed one, they had so many gods. So it wasn't a lack of gods in the pagan world that they had. They had pagan gods, but they knew not of Christ, Paul said. They were aliens, which means what? Without citizenship. So the Gentiles are looking at Israel, looking at the Jews. They were citizens of God because they were told that all the time by the Jewish people. They were reminded of it all the time. We are citizens in God's kingdom. They were without the promised covenants of God as those lost, and without the blood covenant of Christ, so were you and I, the same thing. Then Paul gives a bleak summary of the world that they lived in, and here's the words, without hope. Well, that's the same picture of our world today, of people that are without Christ, running around doing the things that you're seeing them do on TV, like there's chaos everywhere, really. They act like a people without hope. Because they are a people in their heart without hope. Because they were the same Gentiles that these were back when Paul was writing about this, without Christ in their life. Warren Wiersbe tells us of what historians say about this time period right here in the ancient world where they were writing. He says the historians tell us that a great cloud of hopelessness covered the whole ancient world. Philosophies were empty, traditions were disappearing, and their religions were powerless to help men face either life or death. That definitely can describe our world today.
Amen.
They chase everything in the world to try to make themselves happy, and they can't find it. They try different religions. They try money. They try power. They try getting mad. They try venting. They try everything in the world because there's an emptiness in their hearts that cannot be filled with the things of this world. And when I used to go to the prisons and preach in the prisons, I was totally honest with them because they can see through you if you're fake. I promise you that. And I would tell them, I'd be honest with them. And I'd say the booze, the alcohol, the drugs, the cars, the money, and the other things haven't fulfilled you, have they? And they'd all shake their heads. I said, there's an emptiness in you, aren't they? And they'd shake their heads, yes. Then I'd have the opportunity to tell them what fills that. Now, whether the Holy Spirit moved among them, that was up to them. But they admitted there was an emptiness in their life when they came in there. And finally, they were without God. Now, understand, this was not caused by God. The Gentiles being without God compared to the Jewish people, this was not caused by God, but it was by their own willful sin. The Jews were to be a light unto the Gentile nations to lead them to God. But Romans tells us the answer to that. Romans 1:18 through 23 tells us that they suppress the truth. In their minds, when you're out without God for so long and you follow false idols in your life, and if we're not careful, we can follow one in our life, even those of us that are in this church this morning, because anything that comes between you and God is an idol. Understand, anything. My family, my kids, what little money I got, well, anything that I put between God and me is an idol, and that's what Paul is talking about. And that's what he was talking about. He said they suppressed the truth. It says God had shown them himself. He is seen in what? In his creation. So there is no excuse for them. Not only the earth, but the created man. Us. We should be able to look at each other and see the creation of what God has in a body that he's creation and know that there is a God. Evolution didn't do this. You can take the single eye. Go study it. Go pull it up. Go pull the parts up of the eye. And see how the light comes in to give you color and how you can see images and how it's just made. And you have to know that there was somebody that had to organize that, that had to design that. God said you should be able to look at the human body and know that God at least exists. So he did not leave the Gentile world without knowledge of him. They suppress it, it says, just like men do today. Verse 21 says, they knew God, but they did not glorify God. Or that means they did not honor God, nor were they thankful for him for anything. They chose other roads. They chose other avenues. They became fools and worshiped idols. I think we have a lot of foolish decision making in the world today. I really do. Men, women, led by their own lust and power and ventures in themselves that have convinced themselves that they're the solution to the whole world. And they make decisions that are just completely foolish. All the nations were the same. God separated the Jews out to be a light. John 4:22 tells us this. Salvation is of the Jews. That does not mean that only the Jews are going to be saved. That means salvation comes through the Jews, the Jewish nation. Why? Because God brought his word through the Jews. He brought his word to you and I that we study right now this morning through the Jewish nation. And what else did he bring through the Jewish nation? The Lord Jesus Christ. Through the Jewish nation. As they were separated out, so is our church today. When we're least like the world, we do the most for the world. As a church, as a believer, when you and I are least like the world, we do the most for the world because we shine the light of Christ in all that we do. Verses 13 through 15 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now he's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews here, but he also talks about us. The Gentiles were far off. The Jews were near, but they still had a problem. God is working in this, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one. Why is God so concerned about bringing the Gentiles and the Jews and nations together? Why couldn't he just do it individually? That's what he does. It doesn't be fine. Just worry about us individually. Because the Gentiles and the Jews that were going to be brought into the same church had to get along. They had to love each other. They had to accept each other. And even in the first century, go back to Paul as he went to every church. Who followed him around? The Jews. Some were saved, some weren't. What were they saying? Paul's giving false teachings. What was he preaching about? That the two had become one. That now the covenant, the Old Testament, that the Jews were under the law, you're no longer completely under that, because Christ is the fulfillment of all that's in the law. And the Jews, many of them that were Christians, didn't like that. What did they want? They wanted to be Christians, but they also wanted to tie the Old Testament into it and still participate in all the things that were under the law. And they wanted the Gentiles to do it. Remember when Paul went to Jerusalem for the first church council? And they questioned Paul? And what did they decide? Thankfully, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they didn't put a lot of burdens on the Gentiles. Do not eat things that have been strangled. Do not come under the idols. Just a few things that they recommended the Gentiles to do. That was the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because if Satan would have had his way, they would have given a whole list to the Gentiles that they were to do under the old law. So the Holy Spirit has gotten Paul here to say, we're finna read what he did. He's doing something here to break down that wall of separation between Gentile and Jew so he can start his church. Let's see what he did. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Just as we have the words, but God in verse 4, we now have a new sin. In verse 13, it says, but now. We had but God, now we have but now. Jesus has done this thing. He has broken down the wall of separation that was once between the Jew and the Gentile so that they can become one. Now remember, in the temple, there was a court of the Gentiles, but the court of the Gentiles sat way off from the main building of the temple. Okay? It set off in another place. The court of the women and the court of other things was much closer than the court of the Gentiles. And where the court of the Gentiles was, guess what there was? There was a wall, right here. There was a wall of separation. They have uncovered, it's been a while, but they have uncovered some writings, actually, that talked about that wall in history. And what it says was that anybody that's in the Gentiles, that's in the court of the Gentiles, if you come beyond that wall, you come at your own cost of your life, and you will be stoned if you enter into the other parts of the temple. They were welcome at a certain point, but not past that wall. So everybody that read this right here knew what Paul was talking about when he talked about the wall that Jesus has broken down. The Gentiles saw the Jews as thinking they think they're much better than us, because the Jews told them all the time they were. And the Jews thought, well, they're Gentiles because our laws say that they're dirty people. We don't even go to their lands without coming back to Israel without wiping the dirt off of our feet. So there was a separation there. And Paul's saying, look, those of you that are now in the church, you've got to get past that, because Jesus has broken down the middle wall of separation. Amen. And for us today, being saved as Christians, he has broken down that wall of separation between you and me and God. You see, at one time we all had enmity against God. We're sinners against God. We had no hope, just like the Gentile nations in the world. We were without God. We were hopeless. We were in darkness. We believed all the things the world said. But now the wall of separation has been broken down. And how did he do it? On the cross. Jesus took his cross as a battering ram and he beat that wall down, and it's gone, and there's no wall of separation between you and God. And you and I can now have what he says in the first part of that. We can have peace with God. But there's some people, there's some of us that we'll carry around the guilt in our lives for the sins we've done or other things, and that peace is hard for us to attain. And sometimes in our life, we want to build that wall back a little bit. For what God has torn down, let no man build back. Okay, I was thinking of marriages the other day. For what God has joined, let no man put asunder. Well, that's a good saying too. If God has broken down the middle wall of separation in your life, why would you build it back? Why would you let anything come between you and God as a wall, idols or anything else, when Jesus has done all that he's done on the cross for you and for me, that we might be covered with the blood of Christ? And just as the Gentiles and the Jews could come together in the church and realize this, and it took a while for them to realize this, we too come together in this church, in this body, and worship together in the same way, and also with our relationship with God. For what did he say in the first chapter over here? You are chosen. You are the elect. You are predestined in the position that God has brought you to. Okay? Not that God, let me go back and say this, because some of you weren't here when I preached that message. Not that God chose some to be saved and some not to be saved. That's not what he's talking about. He has elevated you to a position in Christ, that we are in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, on the throne of the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your prayers come for that. You have the authority to pray from that. We talked about that Wednesday night, didn't we? You have the authority of being in Christ at the throne of God to pray to God in that way boldly before the Lord. Why? Because the wall of separation has been broken down, and the example was in the temple when they broke it down between the Jews and the Gentiles. That is a wonderful thing to know. That is a wonderful thing for us to live under. The only wall now is the one that people build between themselves. And the world is still without Christ. They are strangers. They were without hope. They are without God in their life. That's the world that we live in. But Romans 10 tells us what? For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world has hope, but we have to give them the gospel. I'm going to read you from 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. A blessed hope that Paul gives us through the Holy Spirit. And you're very familiar with this. But says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And Paul says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Why? Because there's no wall of separation between me and God any longer. Jesus did away with that when he died on the cross, and his blood covered it. Amen. And the world has the same opportunity. Do not let the wall of separation come between you and God. If there's any there, let him help you tear them down. If there's anything there that Satan's bringing into your life today that keeps you from that relationship with God, that strong relationship with God, and there's a little wall there that you can't hop over, Jesus has already torn it down. Do away with it. Go to the Lord. Ask for repentance if you need to. Seek his forgiveness and seek him. For he is there to be found. He knocked the wall down for a reason. Because we are in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father.